This is the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. So glad that you are with us on this resurrection weekend. Coming up, the self-imposed deadline for an agreement between the P5 plus one and Iran passed earlier this week. What really is at stake for America and for our ally, Israel? Former Senator Rick Santorum and presidential candidate joins us here in just a moment. Also, going into this resurrection weekend, religious liberty has been the focus of the nation this week. Big business has been dangling silver in the face of elected officials, enticing them to sacrifice religious freedom for the promises of economic gain. Is that true? We're going to be talking with Terry Jeffrey of CNS News about the hypocrisy of corporate America. That's coming up on this weekend edition of Washington Watch. Let me encourage you, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics, our guests. Also, some action items there on the website. Information is great, but what do you do with it? That's why we're here. We help you take this information, put it into action so that your voice will be heard and you can make a difference. Again, that website, TonyPerkins.com. Well, as many of you know, if you've been tracking this, I know a lot of news this week, a lot of it focused on Indiana and Arkansas. We're going to be talking about that. But also, the White House has been trying to come up with some sort of agreement with Iran regarding their desire to gain a nuclear weapon. The deadline for the deal was actually March 31st, but Secretary of State John Kerry extended his visit in hopes of making a deal. Now, critics on both sides of the political aisle are discussing how the administration's unwillingness to leave the table only shows the weakness on our part. It's like we want a deal no matter what's in the deal. Joining me now with analysis of this is former Pennsylvania senator and author of the new book, Bella's Gift, How One Little Girl Transformed Our Family and Inspired a Nation, Rick Santorum. Rick, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you, Tony. And by the way, just thank you for the great job you've done this week. Seeing you on multiple TV shows out there, standing very firm and strong for religious liberty in America. And you've been a great warrior, and I'm just very appreciative of you and your work you've done.
Well, I thank you for that. I appreciate that. I would say back at you, because I know as a presidential candidate that's out there or exploring the prospects out there, that you too are you've been out there talking about this issue. Of course, you've been talking about this issue for a long time.
About 10 years.
You have. I would argue it's one of the issues that catapulted you to the top of the list of prospects for the Republican nomination last time, because I made this point on one of the Fox programs this week, that you can always look at where presidential candidates are. And I didn't mean this in any kind of disrespectful way, but I say this, that the presidential candidates better reflect where the American people are, because they're out there with the people all day long. They're listening, they're talking, and they're reflecting back where they are. And almost every Republican presidential candidate spoke out in support of these laws protecting religious liberty.
Yeah, this is going to be a very, very important issue going forward, and not just here in Indiana and Arkansas, but we're going to continue to see an assault. I mean, you talk about it, where the corporate community now has bought in with the popular culture and bought in with the left. And this is really important to understand. This is not the gay community. This is the left of America trying to impose their will on the church and on the family, and really, to my opinion, devastating consequence. So it's really important for us to understand the battle lines here. And this is really about freedom. This is really about government not imposing their will on people of faith. And hopefully, we're going to see Americans get that, not just presidential candidates, but Americans get that and begin to push back and rise up.
Senator, let me along those lines, before we get to Iran and that deal that's being negotiated there, I want to ask you about this from a standpoint of religious liberty, presidential election cycle of 2016. And it's not just domestic the domestic side of religious liberty, but we see religious freedom under assault literally around the globe. Of course, I believe that the reason we're seeing persecution spread is because we're allowing intolerance to spread here at home, and that sends a message to the tyrants abroad. But do you believe that religious liberty, both here in America and in foreign policy, is going to be a major issue in the 2016 cycle?
I think it will be. It certainly will be in a general election. The question on in the primary election is whether anyone will separate out on this. And as we've seen, you know, you're looking at a couple of governors who are, generally speaking, pretty strong conservatives who have wavered. And I don't doubt that you're going to see some of that pressure brought to bear on presidential candidates. And we'll get an opportunity over the next several months to see how much they stand up as this issue remains in the limelight. This issue is not going away. More people are going to be put in situations where they're going to lose their job, they're going to lose their ability to say things as people of faith. And this issue is going to come up, and as you mentioned, there are a lot of powerful forces on the other side. So we'll wait and see how this all shakes out in the primary. The general definitely will be an issue. Mm-hmm. The question is whether it's an issue in the primary, whether there's unanimity going forward.
And this is not, just to be clear, and I made the, again, this was one of the points I made this week in one of the Fox interviews, is that this is not just an issue for evangelicals or social conservatives. This literally is an 80% issue. Whether you have faith, don't have faith, they have a particular denomination.
The freedom of conscience.
It's the ability.
It's the freedom of conscience.
Right. It's the ability to live your life according to your beliefs, to hold your beliefs and live your life according. What good are beliefs if you can't put them into practice? And that's what we're talking about here.
That's exactly right. Well, I always say it's the first freedom. Freedom of speech doesn't mean anything. You can't say what you believe.
Right.
And you can go on down the list of all the other freedoms. They don't mean anything unless freedom of conscience is underlying all of them.
Well, Senator Santorum, you're not only understand this issue of domestic freedom and religious freedom, and not only have you been a voice on that, but you've been one that for a long time, going back to your early days in the United States Senate, have been a clear voice on the threat from a standpoint of national security of what's happening in the Middle East and the Islamic threat. And so I want to get your thoughts on this. It's almost this irrational sense of having to come up with some type of an agreement between the United States and Iran or the P5 plus one. I mean, what do you think is driving this?
I think you're right. I think the president is driven to get a deal. I always say I think part of it is to justify his Nobel Peace Prize. The other thing is I think this is even a backlash against Israel and against Prime Minister Netanyahu. I mean, there's a whole host of things. If you look at the president's whole foreign policy, it's been geared toward doing things to accommodate our enemies. Cuba, Iran, Russia, you can go on down the list, and alienate our friends. I mean, you have the French now standing against this agreement, pushing back against. I mean, the French are now the toughest when it comes to negotiating with Iran. This is the president who has some serious issues with American foreign policy as it's been conducted for the past, since World War II, and wants to revert to a weak state that has little to no influence, and allow regional and other powers to prosper. And this is a very dangerous thing, and in particular, it's dangerous here. Iran. I've been singularly focused on Iran now for the better part of 10 years, and focused on the fact that Iran is different than any other country that has tried to get a nuclear weapon. It is a radical theocracy. It is a theocracy that is driven in part by the belief that the end of times are coming, and that their Mahdi is going to return, and that this Mahdi returns at a time of great strife and conflagration to lead radical Islam, this Shia Islam, to rule the world, and to give such a state, a state that truly believes these things. There was a survey out that I saw of Iranian people that a majority of Iranians believe that the end of the world is coming in the next 5 years. This is not just some crazy man that's trying to influence the masses. This is a generalized belief that is deeply held within the clerical community within Iran, who controls Iran. And to give them a nuclear weapon is the most dangerous thing an American president has done in modern history. This is the most irresponsible act of a president that I have ever seen.
And Senator Santorum, it appears that the other powers in the Middle East, the Saudis and others, understand the real threat here much better than this administration here in the United States does.
They're pursuing their own counter. You see the Saudis now working with the South Koreans to develop some sort of nuclear capability. Obviously, Israel is very, very concerned the fact that the Obama administration would release classified information about Israel and the nuclear program. You know, leads credence to the fact that the president continues to undermine our enemy. Support our enemies and undermine our allies. The Turks have expressed concern and a desire that should Iran have a nuclear weapon, that they would have to do so. The United Arab Emirates, they understand this radical theocracy that is Iran. But we have a president, of course, who says that theocracy. That religion has nothing to do with any of this, that has nothing to do with Iran, has nothing to do that the enemy, whether it's ISIS or Iran, that it's simply just geopolitics. It's just simply a power play. This is why, whether it's dealing with ISIS and not understanding how to best deal with them and confront them because we refuse to identify the rationale behind what they want to do, the same thing goes with Iran, and it's a dangerous game for America and for the world and, of course, for our friend Israel.
And the 2016 elections cannot come soon enough, not only for the United States, but for the security of the rest of the world.
I was in Israel at the same time you were, and one of the closest advisors to Prime Minister Netanyahu said, I fear that when 2017 rolls around and the new president, you better have elected a wartime president, because what this president is doing is heading us headlong into a major conflict. And if this agreement is anything like what's being portrayed in the media, we are putting Iran on a path to a nuclear weapon, and sooner rather than later.
Senator Rick Santorum, thanks so much for taking time out this weekend to talk with us.
Thank you very much, Tony. Again, keep up the good work.
All right, thank you. Senator Rick Santorum, to find out more about what Rick is doing, what he's up to, if you can keep up with him, you're doing good. Go to my website and you can follow over to his. It's TonyPerkins.com. And be praying for Rick. I've known Rick for a long time. Great guy. He's out there taking the message, standing firm. And we need voices like that out there. So go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, follow links over. All right, don't go away, because we're coming back with more of this weekend edition of Washington Watch. CNS News Editor-in-Chief Terry Jeffrey joins me to talk about corporate America. Been dangling that silver in front of elected officials, trying to entice them to abandon religious freedom. What's at stake for corporate America? Are they laying a trap for themselves? We're going to talk about that with Terry Jeffrey when we come back. Don't go away. We're back right after this.
We were told Obamacare wouldn't fund abortions, but now we know that the president's health care plan uses taxpayer dollars to fund abortions on demand. In fact, some states are abortion-only states, which means pro-life families there have no choice but to choose plans that cover abortions. No one should be forced to help end human life. To find out more about health insurance plans in your state, visit our website at ObamacareAbortion.org. Some people tell us that marriage redefinition is inevitable. They tell us that we're on the wrong side of history, but we respectfully disagree. History is not yet written. We are the marriage generation, children of the 1980s who understand that marriage is a lasting promise between one man and one woman. We believe the state has a compelling interest in upholding the meaning and purpose of marriage, because marriage is the beginning of family, and family is the foundation of society. We're millennials who remain committed to the meaning and enduring value of marriage. Neither court rulings, nor elections, nor cultural pressures will dissuade us. Our passion is to revive a marriage culture and to shape the way our generation thinks and talks about marriage. We aren't indifferent. We aren't giving up. We are the marriage generation. To find out more about us, visit marriagegeneration.org. Again, that's marriagegeneration.org.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council. If you've ever received a letter from me or heard our Washington Watch radio program, you know that I always like to close with an encouraging reminder from the Apostle Paul. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul describes the armor that is provided by God to the followers of Jesus Christ. In that passage, Paul calls each of us into action by ordering us to stand our ground. Ephesians 6:13 reads like this, "Therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Well, you can take a stand. You can stand with us by going to TonyPerkins.com to receive more information on how you can order one of FRC's new Stand t-shirts. Now you can wear your commitment to stand for God's truth and in the process, encourage others to do the same. To order your Stand t-shirt today, go to TonyPerkins.com and click on the Stand t-shirt graphic for more information. And together, we'll stand.
Should Christians get involved in politics or focus on evangelism? Should governments enforce religious practice or exclude it altogether? Historically, Christians have disagreed, but theologian and author Dr. Wayne Grudem has some answers. He offers them in a new booklet titled, Why Christians Should Seek to Influence Government for Good. Dr. Grudem explores the history and theology of Christian public service. He reminds us that Jesus called his followers to love their neighbors as themselves. For some Christians, that love of neighbor will mean promoting justice and extending mercy by creating and applying good laws. But he also suggests that all Christians living in a democracy have an obligation and stewardship to be well-informed and vote wisely. So what will you do with the opportunity you've been given? To download your copy of this booklet, visit frc.org/Christian Influence. That's frc.org/Christian Influence. What if your most basic rights were being threatened? Sadly, this isn't a hypothetical question. Hostility against religion is on the rise. America's first liberty, the freedom of religion, is being pushed out of public life, out of our schools, and even out of our churches. Family Research Council has partnered with Liberty Institute to document these events. Our new report is titled Undeniable: The Survey of Hostility to Religion in America. While not exhaustive, it records almost 1,200 incidents of a hostility against religion. Historically, we have enjoyed great religious liberty in this country. We offer this report both as an undeniable warning and an encouragement to join us as we restore this liberty. We invite you to download and read the report by visiting religioushostility.org. That's religioushostility.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So grateful for you to be with us on this resurrection weekend. Now, if you listen to my daily program, you know that this week has been focused on religious freedom and the attack that has been seen all across America. Religious freedom in America is at risk. That's why you've seen state after state begin to pass measures like the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. 20 states have now passed them, the latest being Indiana, which has been one of the focal points of the intense battle this week, and then, of course, Arkansas. What has been very interesting to me, and let's think about where we are. This is the Holy Week. This is leading into this weekend of Resurrection Weekend. The nation has been focused on this debate over religious freedom, which should never even be a debate. But what has been very troubling to me and insightful is where corporate America is. Corporate America, Walmart, Apple, Angie's List, they've been rattling the silver in front of elected officials, enticing them to sacrifice the religious freedom of their people in order to get an NCAA tournament or some kind of business contract. The hypocrisy, though, of these guys is amazing when you look at where they're doing business overseas. And I believe many, like Walmart, could be laying a trap for themselves by who they're teaming up with. Joining me now to talk more about this is our good friend, Terry Jeffrey, over at CNS News. He is the editor-in-chief, and always love to hear what he has to say. Terry, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Happy Easter.
Well, thank you, sir. Glad to have you on with us on this special weekend. And of all times to be talking about religious freedom, that's the topic the entire country has been focused on this week. It's hard to miss the irony here.
No, it's not. You know, in, you know, listening to your introduction in this with Walmart taking the wrong side on this, it reminds me of this basic dichotomy in American business life that people may not pay attention to as much as they should, which is this. There's a fundamental difference between privately owned businesses that are owned by families and individuals that are engaged in capitalism but are conducted by that person or that family's individual moral beliefs and values. So there are things for that family, like the Green family that owns Hobby Lobby, that are more important than the accumulation of money in the pursuit of profit. Then on the other side, there's another type of business. In the U.S., it's often a public stock company. It's not owned by the people who manage it. It's owned by people who have managed the internal corporate politics of that organization well enough to get to the top of it. And their ultimate value, their strategic goal, their sole purpose is to maximize profit. So that if it means killing an unborn child for profit, maybe they'll do that. If it means violating someone's religious freedom, maybe they'll do that. And the very interesting phenomena, and we see it here very clearly, Tony, is a collaboration and a cooperation and alliance between that type of big business that it isn't owned by people who are living according to their moral values but are seeking profit above all else. Big government and that type of corporation. And what's the target? Individuals and then businesses like Hobby Lobby that are owned by individuals that practice everything in their life according to their faith and their moral values.
Well, I think the message this week is big government plus big business equals big trouble for religious freedom.
Well, you know, exactly. When this controversy started, I did something pretty radical. I sat down and I read the very short Indiana Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And I think people ought to read it if they hadn't. And what struck me immediately on reading it and recalled to me again the Hobby Lobby case in the Supreme Court is that this law actually says, the Indiana law that Mike Pence signed says, that the government can, in fact, burden, is the word it uses, the free exercise of a person's religion, provided the government has a compelling interest and it's the least restrictive means to do so.
Right.
So this law actually empowers the government to violate your and my free exercise of religion as long as it thinks it has a compelling interest. In the Hobby Lobby case, what that meant, by the way, was could the federal government force a privately owned business owned by Christians to pay for abortion in the form of abortifacients and IUDs that end the life of a child. Most people don't realize this, Tony, but the Supreme Court, in an opinion written by Sam Alito, 5-4 opinion, said, well, you know what? The government does have a compelling interest to force Hobby Lobby to do that, but it's not the least restrictive means because they can offer them this accommodation that they offered nonprofits and they can get out of it. So we're at a very, very tenuous point in American life where even conservatives on the United States Supreme Court are compelled to say ridiculous things, like the government has a compelling interest to force a Christian to cooperate in an abortion in violation of his Christian faith. That is where we are in America today, this Easter.
It is shocking in watching this unfold this past week where you have obviously clear distortions from the media and from the corporate America. In fact, I had the state representative that represents the area that Walmart has its headquarters in Bentonville, Arkansas. And I had him on the radio program this past week talking about what was going on there in Arkansas and what was wrong with his bill and why Walmart weighed in against the bill, against religious freedom. He said clearly they haven't read the bill. It's almost this hysteria over this issue, one small fragment of what RFRA would cover, and that's the issue of this conflict between sexual liberty and religious liberty when it comes to these private vendors, these wedding vendors, being forced to engage in something under the threat of punishment from government. That's just one small portion of RFRA, but yet they've tried to make this into a complete distortion of what the protections that are being afforded to religious liberty are in this bill.
Well, I think there's a sort of cultural tyranny going on here where the message that the cultural left, those who want us to agree with things like killing an unborn child or that two people of the same sex can marry one another and adopt children, If you don't agree with that, they want to be able to destroy your life. If you're a business, they want to be able to deny you the ability to continue doing business. If you're in a particular profession, they'd like to stop you from advancing in that profession. They want to frighten everybody out of behaving according to the moral code that comes out of the Judeo-Christian tradition, which is, in fact, the foundation of our freedom. It's a very fundamental thing. So the Founding Fathers said in the Declaration, all men are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. The rights they're trying to claim we're violating, they'd never say they come from the Creator because they couldn't possibly claim that. It would be absurd.
Well, I was just going to make the point, we're almost out of time, but I was going to say, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that as a nation we are having this debate over religious liberty, the ability to live your life according to your beliefs in the most holy week of the Christian faith.
It is not. There definitely is a struggle here between the Christian, the biblical foundation of our culture, and people who want America to go in a way that's completely inconsistent with that tradition. And our liberty is entirely dependent on it. If we walk away from the unchangeable moral order, those rules that civilization are based on, that are wholly consistent with the Judeo-Christian tradition and are in fact spelled out in the Judeo-Christian tradition, we will not maintain our freedom. It's not about maximizing freedom. It's about ending freedom.
Well said. Terry Jeffrey, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, that's our good friend Terry Jeffrey. He is an editor-in-chief over at CNS News. Go over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. Great source of information for you on a daily basis. And while you are at the website, TonyPerkins.com, you want to find out about the action steps. Look, this information, I know it can be troubling at times, but do something about it. Take action. One of the actions that's listed on the website is if you're an Angie's List member, cancel your subscription. In fact, as a member, you have a right to 110% of your membership fee back. Request it. The information is on the website, TonyPerkins.com. Don't do business with those businesses that are hostile to religious freedom. All right, we're out of time, folks. Thanks so much for being with us. Let me once again leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul on this resurrection weekend. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.